Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me on this very fine day, as you probably noticed already on the title, is my lovely wife, Natalie. How are you, my dear? Are you going to say something?
Oh, I thought you were pushing a button.
Oh, you were right. I was ready.
Asshole.
Yo, yeah, look at you. Fucking
intro.
Professional woman. I like your... It's. I don't know why I'm so amused by the fact that you get me. Here's the thing. Some of you may have noticed that the show is slightly different, and I have not yet had a moment to explain because, the weeks, they got away from me, to be honest with you. So here's the thing. Show is going to change a little bit. I had put this out there a while ago, and I put it on. Some of you on Facebook might have noticed some stuff on the Staying Frosty with the Dad podcast page. I posted a little thing there, but the people, we have more listeners than we do people who follow us on the Book of Faces. So I wanted to also make it clear here. Why are we changing the show? Why are we telling you? I am telling you because I think it is something that I believe in the transparency of the show. I tell you when I have good moments as a husband, as a father. I tell you when I have shitty moments. And I think you've seen me do shitty shows and you've seen me do good shows.
In a nutshell, you really care about your audience,
right?
Too. That's the biggest.
And I think it would be kind of rude just to go in and act like you don't know. Pay no attention to the changes. The numbers of the show, the downloads, is what we care about in the podcasting world. That's the equivalent of our ratings, had been dropping. And I'm not going to go into why I think or anything like that. If you want to email me, feel free to email me. But I'm going to give you a quick nutshell. For those of you who are like, I don't give a fuck, then we can get through it and move on. For anybody who cares, if you have any questions, email me, show@thedadpodcast.com. But the numbers were dropping, so I felt like I wanted to take the show in a different direction. In addition to that, I was approached by a podcast network, so now we are part of the Blog Talk Radio Network, which will also include some other changes. But what that means for the show is there will most likely be shorter shows. I'm going to shoot for a 30-minute episode. It will probably, you all know that I'm very loquacious, go into a 45-minute show. For any of you who paid attention to last week with the dear Rachel Gibbs, that was supposed to be a 30 to 45-minute show that went an hour plus. So I got the note from a lot of you that said, well, I don't want the show to feel rushed, so I want to make it clear. I am not going to rush the show. If I feel like there is more content left on the table, I will keep going until we have wrapped it up. But it makes it easier for me to prepare a show that is only 30 minutes long. And if I get a little loquacious, then everybody wins, I guess. There will also be more frequent episodes with Dr. J and Rachel Gibbs, as you've already seen. I've already got dates scheduled for them next month, so they will be on a monthly basis. Of course, schedules permitting on their end and mine. So if you have questions, you could go back to emailing those in with Rachel and Dr. J. But I also have other content prepared, which is something different than what I did before with them. I was always waiting for questions to come in order to do an episode. Natalie, also, a lot of you have said that you love my wife. And guess what? I do, too. So I thought it would be fun for Natalie and I to get on here, for her to give her side of our parenting together. And also it gives us an ability to talk more about marriage. It's kind of what I ultimately always wanted the show to be quite frank with you guys, that I like the banter that my wife and I have. But the show before when I started doing it was a dad show. And I didn't think it would be right to have a mom on a show that is technically directed towards a father demographic. I know we have a lot of women listeners, but we have more dads that listen than moms. So, and the moms I know listen to get insight into the dad perspective of their loved one.
And really, this is the only time we get to talk.
That's also very true. But maybe Natalie can also give some insight for the ladies. And she's fucking hilarious and has a foul mouth. There will also be other guests that will be coming back. Some of the guests that we had before will be returning as well. What's the other thing? Commercials. I don't know if I mentioned that. There was a question about whether or not the show would continue to stream. The last three or maybe four episodes, I have not streamed live because I hadn't had a chance to get all of the ducks in a row. And I wanted to have all those ducks in a row before I actually was streaming live and could interact with everybody and yada, yada, yada. So the show will continue to stream at mixlr.com/dadpodcast. But I don't know that I could stick to a consistent schedule. And then the last thing that I wanted to say is that obviously Paco will not be a regular part of the show. That does not mean we are fighting. The timing of this is horrible because we had an episode where we were kind of going at each other a little bit on the last one. That has nothing to do with it. I assure you, there's no reason for me to lie. He and I already had a lunch and I told him about, you know, what the plans were with the show and everything. And so he'll be on regularly as well. So don't worry. And if you're a huge Paco fan, don't miss his podcast, Hollywood RX, available on iTunes, and check it out. And then you can email me any thoughts or concerns that you have. So please take the time, because one of the things that happened is I said the listeners had kind of left. And so I understand if this makes these changes make you hate the show, and I totally get it. You can email me if you have any thoughts or concerns, and just understand that I may not be able to agree with you or do exactly what you ask, but I will definitely read it. I read all the emails that come through to the show. And also know that everything I'm doing is, in my mind, what is best, not only for the show and for your enjoyment and entertainment value, but also for my own personal life and schedule and all of that stuff. So enough of that bullshit, because honestly, I don't think really anybody gives a flying fuck about anything that I just said. But again, email me, show@thedadpodcast.com, if you feel differently. Natalie,
like you cuss more when I'm on.
No.
No?
I don't think so.
Okay. Not that it's bad. I just thought that was funny.
Well, the only thing that could be is that I feel more comfortable when you're in the room.
That's good.
And maybe do I cuss a lot in our personal life?
I don't think so.
What was the thing? This isn't ruining any moment of the week. What was the thing that happened the other day that made me laugh so hard? The kids were. I always like it when it's your day off. Your day off is one of the best things ever, because I talk a lot about how parents don't get the chance to pee in a fountain enough where they get to switch roles. And when you are home, because I'm still the guy who takes care of the kids most of the day, fair to say?
Yes.
So when you are home for your whole day off, to see you hit that same wall that I hit on a daily basis greatly amuses me. It makes me feel slightly better about myself. but it also makes me fall in love with you all over again. Do you remember there was a moment in the kitchen? I'm sorry that I'm dropping you.
This is not my proudest moment as a mother.
Really? Because I loved
it. But the kids were doing something.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they were doing. And I go, what the hell, you idiots?
Yes.
It was for breakfast.
Oh, yes. Something.
And I called them both idiots. And they didn't even like flinch.
See,
they were we pushed mom.
I know that I don't think the listeners will necessarily agree with this, but I think that maybe you guys are all like Natalie and I. Maybe you and I could talk about how this has been for you. I feel like the world of parenting is going more and more towards like stupid is a bad word. I've heard that now.
Well, and I would agree, but idiot
is safe. Idiot is safe for at least another 20 years.
No, like stupid, idiot. You know, you're dumb. I wouldn't on a normal day say that to the kids.
On a normal
but
day.
When you push me to the edge,
but let's talk about
hear a fucking idiot. I didn't
so
say
happy.
Fucking an idiot, and so it's a little toned down.
I'll throw a curse word in with my insults.
Just you idiots is what I said.
I think I said. You said last night.
You laughed from the other room.
Last night. This is last night.
Uh-huh.
You went, and it always comes after the wonderful bonding experience. Last night they did a PTA event where you could paint a tile, like a tile you would find on your floor or on the wall of a bathroom maybe. You could decorate it, and then they're going to fire it and glaze it or do whatever magical thing those masons do.
Mm-hmm.
And stick it to the wall in the school where it will live forever. There are tiles there. The last time they did this was 10 years ago. You went and did it with our son, Jacob, who is 7 and going to be in second grade next year. Jack is now going to be 5 next month and starting kindergarten there in the fall. And it was this magical thing where you're going to decorate this lifelong memory, and you come home. And I was hoping to be in bed before you came home, but I got hooked into Fear of the Walking Dead, and that I could watch it without fear of interrupting and your judging eyes while the children are going, are those zombies, Dad? Is that Fear of the Walking Dead? And you go, Justin.
Yeah, well, he's hiding behind his hands.
Yeah, it's fine. It's adorable. He likes it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, they come home, and I get frustrated because it's bedtime, and they're not, I like the mock schnell.
Yeah,
let's make with it.
We're hungry. angry.
Yeah. Oh my God. I could have fucking killed him.
At 7:20.
Natalie throws this question out into the ether of the Worsham household. She says, why? You know what upsets your father. Or no, you said, why do you do this all the time?
How do you not know
what upsets him already? You've been around long enough. How could you not know this?
Uh-huh.
And I said, it's because they're fucking stupid. That's why. Now, here's why I stand by my choice in words. Because did the children cry?
Nope.
Did the children look offended?
They don't flinch.
They don't flinch.
Yes. I don't know if that's a good thing.
No, I think it is like, a good thing.
Are they desensitized?
Yes.
I guess that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Both those children know.
And they know, like this morning, Jack was like, I love you, Mama. And even going to bed last night, he's, you know, I love you, Mama. And right. giving me a hug and whatever.
Now,
yeah, they're.
To get back to it, this idea that stupid is a bad word. I've asked the parents.
Oh, people, some people.
I say, well,
say
what
but.
Word? Yeah. What word do you use then to describe stupid?
Right.
And it kind of crashes their brain a little bit. They go, well, you don't call things that are stupid. Well, things are stupid.
Right.
Let's
so you,
I
do
think,
you say dumb?
I think the idea of not using the word stupid is kind of stupid.
Or is it dumb?
But even you, yeah, exactly. Even you said, well, I called them an idiot. And I know you were kidding.
Right.
But
that's far better than stupid.
That's the minutia that we get wrapped up in. What are we doing? What are we
and
doing?
And after I said that, I was like, oh. And then I'm like, you know what? No.
A kid who grows up in a house where the word stupid is referred to as the S word
right.
will never be at
no.
a level of integrity and pride and moxie to storm the beaches of Normandy.
Right.
That will
or
never.
Or just to, you know, fill out a job application.
like you
or
lowered
go to
the bar.
An interview. You know, just trying to. Get their driver's license. Simple. If they open a bank account, just simple
now,
stuff.
Now, Natalie's speaking from personal experience. She deals a lot with people that are in their 20s and bring their parents.
Almost 30s that need their parents to come in to help right. them open a bank account or get an auto loan.
Yeah. So that's...
Wow. That, woo.
Now, let me backpedal slightly. I am not saying... That if you are a person who's like, I don't like that stuff being bantied about. Like, here's the thing. Anything I get on here, even when it sounds like I'm getting up on a high horse, I don't really think everybody should be doing what I'm doing.
Right,
but prepare them. I think what you should be doing is preparing, right. is doing what you think is best. And if what you think is best is to teach your kid not to say stupid, then that's fine by me.
That's fine, but... When they go to school and someone calls them stupid, they need to learn how they need to know how to react to that. They can't go crumble, cry, and run in a corner because two kids called them stupid. The parent, if they don't use the word in the house, that's fine. But hey, if a kid calls you stupid, this is how you react to it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if they go to school and someone says but or someone says stupid and they crumble and cry, they're going to get picked on. They're going to get made fun of. Then that's going to be no good times for them.
I just don't like the idea of people becoming more sensitive. I don't think we're trying to build a society that's more tolerant mm-hmm. and I guess updated and progressive or whatever, for lack of a better
right.
term.
But then they become entitled. They
yes.
become pansies.
Yes.
They become inept
yes.
socially.
And here's the thing, people.
No work ethic, no integrity, no motivation, no drive, no, I could
you
be
could
here
go
all
on
day.
Forever, evidently. Here's the thing, whether we like it or not, here's the reality that I am getting closer. I told the story about how Jacob, trying to defend my honor to his little brother, he spoke for me by saying, when the Michael Jackson thing came up, he said, Dad is 36, and when you're 36, you're too old to dance like that. We are all getting old.
Mm-hmm.
It is very odd for me, and I'm sure all of us, to imagine a time where there'll be some kind of technology that we don't know how to use it. Here, for anybody who has a teen, you are going to love this little thing right here.
Everybody does it now.
It's a new form of communication Sheila Allison and her 12-year-old use regularly. But the problem with these icons is they don't always mean what you think.
So what this is it's a new story about the secret language of emojis that kids are using.
Which the fact that this is a story in the news is mind-blowing. We're going to take happy faces and pile of shit and then give them other meanings.
No, it's already done. But here's what I think your old brain is translating in that maybe we're still in the limbo.
My old brain?
Yes. No, we are. We are in the limbo between still being young enough to kind of being relevant and on the edge. Like, we kind of know what's going on.
Old enough to know that it's stupid.
Right. But old, like, when you say, why is this a news story?
Right.
My pants have to now hug the bottom of my rib cage. You see what I'm saying? I now have to look for deals at restaurants that to make things slightly cheaper. And I can't eat as much spicy food as I once could. That's where we are. But this is talking about the secret language of emojis. And the gentleman you're about to hear from is a police officer.
It doesn't mean anything to them, but it does to those that are fluent in emoji, in the secret language of emojis.
Mike Harris, who tracks down child predators for the Jefferson County DA's office, says he has to learn this whole new language.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
Language of over 1,200 emojis.
One symbol could mean three or four different things, and that's what makes it complicated.
So he uses the Speak Emoji app to translate what people are saying, because emoji can be used to harass, threaten, and commit other crimes.
Now, here's what I love about it. This guy is a cop whose job is to catch predators.
He's learning
a language, but what's he using to learn the language?
He uses the Speak Emoji app to translate what people are saying.
He's using an app to translate. He's not even
old.
There's not a squadron of police officers.
Oh my God.
Who are like, you know what I mean? In our day, the cops were decoding graffiti to figure out what Roman numerals and what color it was.
Where it was located.
Yes. Now, what are the cops all doing? They're twiddling their thumbs, very much like the somewhat ancient society. They're archaeologists.
He uses the Speak Emoji app to translate what people are saying.
So he can figure it out. Oh, it's too juicy for me.
Because emoji can be used to harass, threaten, and commit other crimes.
Do you have any weed?
What? That's the translation?
No. He's peeking into the app to ask
and
it
then
to
it's gonna
show.
Convert into an emoji.
It's going to convert that into emoji. But just here's the thing: he's already using an app to figure out what young people are doing. Okay, but listen to the aged sound of his—not his voice, but the inflections when he tries to score some bud.
Do you have any weed? You're ugly.
But some emoji aren't so obvious.
Okay, the finger down.
And I walked on this.
You're ugly.
So he asked it, you're ugly, and this is what you're ugly is in emoji ease.
Okay, the finger down and frog.
Now, this is a police officer whose job it is to catch predators. Predators who are going after young people, so he has to learn the lingo. He's live figuring out you're ugly. Live in front of the reporter. He's like, oh, okay, so finger down and frog means you're ugly. Maybe, I'll give him that maybe a lot of predators aren't really saying you're ugly. You know, that's not really
he's
in the lingo.
He's trying to keep it clean.
Yeah, it's that if you're trying to catch a kid for, abusive privileges, if you would, you're not going to call them ugly.
Right.
Very, very little chance you can get that kid into your paneled van.
And frog.
A frog can mean someone is ugly. This cute image of a dog can actually be an insult of the B word.
The B word.
The B word.
How old does she sound? I mean, you
can't say bitch on television?
You can, especially when describing a female dog.
But it sounds more dramatic.
Insult of the B word. This smiling pile of poop, another profanity.
Why? I like how she says poop.
Yes.
This smiling pile of poop.
This cute image, insult of the B word. This smiling pile of poop and
poop. Now we're just a bunch of 4-year-olds here.
Poop and poop and poop and poop. Another profanity.
But who doesn't get that? You know what I mean? It's like there's a lot of fluff. This story is 4 minutes long, and I've edited it down to a minute and a half. That's how much garbage was in it.
Yeah.
But
something as simple as a flower can mean drugs.
Parents also should know some emoji are sexual.
That could mean virginity.
Well, no, the flower, I think, is just, it's the only, here's the thing. All they're doing is they've been given so many characters, and they've, what is a hieroglyphics. Okay, that's what emojis are. Mm-hmm. The teenagers, I think, and granted, I don't have any, so everybody send your emails, show it to dadpodcast.com, tell me how fucking wrong I am. But what it is that this is cave paintings for teenagers of today. Like,
and
they have
lazy communication.
Well, not even lazy. It's that it's easy because you've been given a certain amount of characters, and clearly the parents don't understand until this fucking bitch from Denver ruined it for all these kids.
So if you see a flower and a syringe with like a hospital symbol and an airplane, then you know we're gonna poke to get high and soar. Woo!
See, this again proves my point of how old we are. You think that there's an emoji for syringe, and maybe there is, and I don't know.
I think there is.
Z again.
I don't know.
We're so disconnected. We're fucked.
I know there's a hospital signal.
Symbol? Well, yeah, exactly. But that's what I'm saying is that they don't have a pot leaf and a syringe that just comes as a basic one. I'm sure there isn't.
So they have to get rid
of. They don't have some clip art of a
paperclip
shooting up heroin.
For us old people, don't you remember, though, when you were younger and we had pagers and we would put in numbers that meant things? So 143 was I love you?
Yes.
And
that was our lingo.
You'd come up with a code, and then you'd give the code to the person that was like your friend or significant other or whatever. So when you were on your phone, on your pager, you'd type in the numbers, you know, 323 space,
yes,
41 space, and whatever meant I'll meet you at 10 or whatever. So we did that. So that's kind of like the same kind of thing.
Yes.
Poop. You're a child. Next.
Another profanity.
So flower means weed. Let's see if I can find where we were in the story before I wanted to hear poop again.
Who'd have guessed a peach and eggplant and raindrops referenced carnal desire?
What?
Would you have guessed that?
A peach and egg
plant.
Uh-huh.
And dripping water. So I think we all can figure out the dripping water must mean for when you're making me wet, I would imagine.
Uh-huh.
But again, here comes, hey, we're going to talk like this. The dripping water makes it sound like you make me wet, baby.
An eggplant.
That's for my penis.
Ew.
Yes.
No.
It's a very solid source of protein. And I guess the peach is for your lady bits. But it doesn't, I feel like, why isn't strawberry in there? Because there's no romance?
Or a
there?
Different form of flower. I think there's got to be multiple types of flower for different types of weed then. If flowers are sticking
again,
to weed.
You're taking your
and
adult
then fruit
brain.
Is into
you're taking the old person brain and you're putting it through the teenage
the
emoji filter. That's not how it works.
Who'd have guessed a peach and eggplant and raindrops reference carnal desire?
If you're talking about the weather, then that could possibly mean that it's raining or it's going to rain. Or
but
raining.
If it's with that fruit and everything else, it's a different content.
Yeah.
It's a sexual content.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Wow.
This is but listen to the white trashness come through this lady.
Right.
Different content.
It's different content.
Different content.
Yeah.
It's sexual content.
Throw an X in there.
Sexual content.
Yeah, throw an X in there, bitch. It's not content. It's context.
Different content.
Yeah.
It's sexual content.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Great.
Great. And there's your news story.
Now, by the way, this is what I love, too, about the people who put this story together. The girl who's explaining this to her mother, probably 11 or 12.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Probably 11 or 12. And I know you and I are having a little giggle at this. Maybe there's somebody listening who is a teenager that is like, oh, balls. Like, just, I ask you now, dearly beloved, do you think you and I will be crapping in our shorts when our two young boys become young men? Imagine a 16-year-old Jacob and a 13-year-old Jack.
Yeah, I'm a little worried.
You are?
I'm a little bit scared.
Why? What
yeah.
What frightens you about that time and that life?
That's a whole other show.
What, you can't give it to me in a
it's the you know, the whole puberty thing and their voices are changing.
Why is that scary? That's
sprout.
The easiest part of it all.
Smells start to come out from all sorts of different orifices.
What do you think that, puberty is?
You know, your sexual desire and
your
bisexual
desire?
No, sexual.
Got it.
No, not content.
Context.
Context. You know, just the puberty and the staying out late and the peer pressure and, you know, drugs and alcohol and Ugh, it's that time. That's scary. That's scary because.
But why? Yeah. I get the what the scary things could be, yeah. But what scares you about that?
I think I'd be afraid that, you know, they'd get in a car with somebody that was drunk, or they would feel like they had to try drugs or alcohol, or maybe they, you know, didn't want to, or even if they wanted to and it got too far, or, you know, then there's a girl and then they had sex without a condom. I mean, of course your mind goes there. I don't have teenagers, but I anticipate that that's how I would feel. It's one of those, you're going to worry about them and you hope that they make the right decisions, and if they have questions they can come to you. See, but ultimately
my thought is that I know they're going to try drugs and alcohol. I don't think that they're going to have sex without a condom. You know, I would hope not.
Right.
You just got to scare them.
Right.
You have to scare the living shit out of them. Here's what
you could scare them to where then they're just defiant on purpose, and then they're not
have to
scaring
show it to
them.
So I had an idea that came to me in this moment that I thought would have worked, is that if we could have somehow stuck some Halloween vampire teeth up in your hoo-hoo.
Ew.
And just so that they think it's going to bite them.
That is disgusting.
But then, yeah, exactly. Then we'd have to
go
see that's your mom's hoo.
Yeah. That's a whole other therapy
session. We've ruined them for other reasons.
Them.
Exactly. Yeah.
I cannot right, stare well, at a vagina.
We're just brainstorming. There are no wrong ideas.
Ours are very wrong. Ours are very wrong.
Well, luckily we have quite a few years before we have to worry about that. But here's the thing. You worry about the teenage years, and you brought this up. This is something that my dear bride here found out while on a road trip with our two boys. And that is the insanity of children's songs. Yes, yes?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
So this one literally scared.
Well, hang on. We were going on a road trip, and I didn't want them to get too bored. So besides my music, I'm like, oh, there's these 50 silly songs. It's only $4. You know, John, Jacob, Jingle, Hammersmith, all the, you know, old classics that we listened to as a kid.
Old classics.
But did we ever really listen to the lyrics?
Honey, you literally, 12 hours ago, we're asking why our children never listen to someone
yeah.
who can hurt them.
Right.
Who can hurt them not only physically, but take pleasure away from their lives.
And let me tell you.
And do they pay attention?
No.
No.
We did not listen to these lyrics.
We did, but we didn't care.
Because it just sounded uppity and fun and whatever. But as an adult.
Have you listened to an Ariana Grande song? I did a stupid bit about this.
Her voice drives me crazy.
Well, she's got a great singing voice. Oh, boy. Now we got another episode.
No.
But it is this weird thing where she looks like a 12-year-old girl, but she's dancing around. There was a song. I can't remember the name of it, but she's paired with like a guy who looks like he's like 4 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And he's talking about if it hurts, then that's how you know it's right.
And she looks like she's 10.
Yes. And I'm like, no, buddy.
And she sings like she's 10, too.
Let's get Mandy Moore. Let's dust off Mandy Moore and
dust
bring her out.
Off, yeah, because she's old.
For pop singer, she is. Evidently, if the queen of pop is Ariana Grande looking like a 12-year-old, then listen, let's shake off Mandy Moore, bring her out in a bob cut, and make her let it happen. You know, let her talk about go until it hurts, because she's pushed out a child, and she knows what it means to have it really hurt.
This is true.
She has life experiences, but I think it is. It's... What my thing with this is we're about to find out is that all you need is an uppity tune and nonsense. But why does the nonsense have to have a dark element to it? And this little song made our son gasp.
I'm bringing home a baby bumblebee.
Aww.
Won't my mommy be so proud of me?
He was in the car and he was like, oh, this is nice. Bumblebee. And we're just listening.
Ouch, it stung me. I'm squishing up the baby bumblebee.
Jacob looks at me and goes, why would she do that?
Well, because let's translate. She's bringing it home, right? She's going to have a good time.
I'm bringing home a baby bumblebee. Ouch, it stung me.
Of course it did, you little bitch.
Because you got it in your hand, you dumb fuck. You fucking idiot. And so what does she do? She takes her little child mind and she basically...
I'm squishing up the baby bumblebee.
Go fuck yourself, baby bumblebee.
You just bit the wrong little girl.
Hey, Bumblebee, I'd like to introduce you to the food chain. Welcome to the world.
My mommy be so proud of me.
Because my mom's also a serial killer who likes to kill someone.
Exactly, and we already have an issue, bee problem.
I'm squishing up a baby bumblebee. Ooh, it's yucky.
Oh, we put a bridge in here so we could really...
I'm wiping off the baby bumblebee.
You know, when we were in kids, when we were in kid, that's horrible. When we were kids and we'd listen to this song, we would say "licking up the baby bumblebee." If anybody out there remembers that,
see that use
old
of
people.
No, that use of the word "we" I think is a little generous. Huh?
Oh,
I don't remember
totally
this.
Saying, I'm licking up my baby bumblebee. Won't my mama be so proud of me?
Eggplant
I'm licking
emoji.
Up my baby bumblebee.
Frog emoji.
Oh, I feel sick. I'm puking up my baby bumblebee. Won't my mama be so proud of me? I'm puking up my baby bumblebee. So, oh, what a mess. I'm mopping up my baby bumblebee. That's so, how we would sing it.
So much frog emoji right now. So much frog. Eggplant emoji with a line through it. Here's the now
thunderbolt.
This is the one that when I heard it that I was like, "You, this is what I mean. Just change the words. And it's fine."
I know a weenie man.
Okay, what?
Right?
Already.
A what?
That is what man? That is line one.
Does he have one?
I know a weenie man. He owns a weenie stand. He sells most anything from hot dogs.
Okay. Oh, so it's just, it's my bad. It's from hot dogs.
On down.
Oh, wait a minute.
From hot dogs on down.
Okay, see. Why couldn't it be hot dogs to
creepy.
Brats? Hot dogs to summer sausages.
Hot dogs to dolls?
Yeah.
Come on now.
Anything.
Creepy.
Hot dogs to battery-powered lawnmowers. Right. It could be anything,
exactly.
And it's totally fine.
Oh, baby, someday I'll change his life. I'll be his weenie.
Okay, hold on.
Hang on. No, you didn't even get there yet.
This
you
is
didn't
a,
even play it.
This is an
the-
8-year-old girl.
I'm
is what I'm imagining.
His life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Talking about a grown man.
A weenie man.
Yes. Who owns a weenie store.
A weenie store.
He doesn't fill out a 1040 EZ. This fucker's got a Schedule C level tax form.
Selling hot dogs on down.
On down. And she has aspirations.
Hot dogs on down. Oh, baby, someday I'll change his life. I'll be his weenie wife. Hot dog, I love that weenie man.
Oh, boy.
Weenie wife. Now we're going to be a weenie wife.
Now, where are you now, feminists? Where are you now that ruined Barbie and made her chubby? Where are you? Where are the full figure Barbie wanting people to shut down? The people who had Tom Sawyer removed from public school libraries because two boys were on a raft with a large black man alone at night and they thought it was inappropriate.
But this weenie man.
Where were you when this song...
We were in the car, and I was like, oh, this is a fun little song. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Not right. There are several things wrong with this.
Now, all told, this is a minute-long song, and they just repeated the same phrase twice, just to drive it. Like
this one didn't have a
bridge. That this is before we had On Demand. Nobody listens to this in Adobe. So if you're like, wait, did she just say what I think she said? And then you hear it again.
Yep.
Now, judging by the waveform I'm looking at, this is the big, we're bringing it home.
I know a weenie man.
Oh, we've added.
Got the drums in there. Weenie man's hitting it hard.
Oh, jeez. Oh, wow.
Ugh.
Yes. Indeed. That's gross. So here, all we got to do is have an upbeat song and talk about anything. I think everybody would. Why can't. How about this? Instead of weenies and weenie men and women and let's
say. I have a candy man.
Right.
Like
yes.
Candy man.
Let's get rid of anything phallic. Okay.
Right.
Let's get rid of all phallics. Let's get rid of killing small creatures. Let's abolish all that.
I know a happy man. Let's just keep it simple.
Right. Because all we're there is that dun, 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 dun. That's all we need.
Yep.
We don't need to talk about dicks.
Nope.
I really hope other people are listening to this. Because what if you and I are the only ones who hear that and hear the phallic reference? That's crazy.
No.
They can't be.
No. They'll listen.
Oh,
they'll hear.
Jeez, Alou. All right, let's do a moment of the week and get out of here.
Already?
Yeah. Oh, wait, did you have other stuff?
We'll have to wait.
What is it? That's all from moment of the week, I thought.
No.
Oh, all right. Well, let's talk about that real quick.
Lots of stuff. No, we could do it a different day.
All right, fine. Then stop fucking shutting me up.
Wow.
You made them.
you love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
Before I do Moment of the Week, one thing I did forget to mention, and I apologize, I don't think this will embarrass you, but for anybody who listened to last week's Rachel Gibbs episode, and she, on the Facebook page at facebook.com/dadpodcast, there is, and also on her website, rachelgibbstherapy.com, is a quick six-question sex quiz that you could take with your partner, and Natalie and I did it. You and I, very open, and I think I at least found it very enlightening. You same way or no?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. There's insecurities and things that we both don't need to worry about,
right.
I think, that we worry about but don't realize that it's not important to your partner. It's an insecurity that shouldn't be there.
So this just in, so, Rachel Gibbs, very good at what she does.
Yay, thank you, Rachel.
Do you want to go first, my love, with
sure.
your moments of the week?
I have mine. I was prepared today.
Look at you.
So my moment of the week this past week, so as you guys might already know, Jacob's been taking piano classes, and now he's learning a different song, and he's learning,
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, Pirates of the Caribbean.
The movie, not the Yo-Ho, from the ride.
So he was playing the song, and he wanted to show me before he went to bed what he had learned. And then I said, well, can you teach me? And then it was cute because he showed me. First he said, oh, where's middle C? And I said, it's here. And he goes, no, it's here. And I said, no. I said, I remember it's here. And then he goes, oh, you're right, mama. Of course I'm right.
Like, I know how to read you.
And then he's touching the buttons, and he was showing me how to do it. So he's doing it like in the middle, and then I did it a little higher. And he just like smiled at me, and he just thought that was so cool that I was learning to play piano.
Yeah, you guys
with
did
him.
A little Pirates
so
of the Caribbean duet.
We did it, and then it was cute because he'd like lift my hand up, and he'd go, no, mama, this finger, this finger, this finger. And I was like, oh, okay, so let me try it again.
Because you were hunting and pecking with a single finger playing, yes?
No.
Oh.
I was moving my hand, but I had the wrong fingers, but he couldn't articulate what note it was, but he was showing me what finger to use. So it was cute because he's like pushing my fingers down. So then after I got it a few times, and then he got it better and better a few times, then we played it together. And I just thought that was really, really cool.
That's awesome.
And
you got
he
one
thought
with Jack?
It was cool because he just looked at me and he was just all smiles too. So the one with Jack, yeah, it was really cute. The other day we were at a friend's house and we were, you know, in the other room. The kids were playing. Everybody's talking, having a good time and laughing. And Jack's getting a little kind of tired. And he came and he goes, Mama, will you play with me? And I always just think that's the sweetest thing because he's, you know, still interested. And I said, sure, buddy. And I walked into the other room, and he has the little fishing game going around and around, the little fishers, the little fish that chomp and goes in a circle. And then you have the little sticks, the little fishing sticks, and you grab the fish. And we played that like three times on the floor. And then he'd say, good job, Mama. How many fish did you get? And he'd count my fish, and then he'd count his fish. Good job, Mama. I got more. Yes, she did. I said, you're really good at this game. And then it was funny because I'd stab the fish and I'm like, these stupid fish, they're not picking up the fishing pole. What's wrong with them? And Jack goes, Mama, you have to wait for them to open your mouth. Like, it was just cute. Like, I turned into
the
poor
girl. He is very adorable, being condescending.
Mm-hmm.
He's lucky he has that.
Yeah.
For me with Jack, we had a great weekend where we were lounging around and we went outside and were actually throwing a football around. And it was fun because Jack has a tiny football. Jacob has a slightly larger football, not quite like NFL regulation. But so I'm playing catch with both of them. And then Jack gets very bored. You could tell that Jacob has a shot at playing a quarterback type position. Jack, all defense. All he wants to do is seek and destroy.
Plow you.
And so he wants to throw the ball at you. Instead of it's not about strategy or anything. And then eventually that boils down to I'm going to tackle you now.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it was fun to have him chase me around. And then I would pretend like he's a defender and I'm trying to throw the ball.
You were really running away from him, too. You were like you were doing all sorts of fancy footwork moves like the football players would do to get away from him. And he didn't stop. He kept going and going and going. It was pretty cool. He's looking at me like crazy.
Let's talk about how you won't condescend.
What? That's not condescending.
Yes, it is. No. Like, look at you with you actually.
No, my point
were
was
moving.
You were
look at you showing some agility.
My point was
fat guy could change directions.
You weren't like letting him get you. Oh hell no, you were booking it.
Yeah, he can't learn if I just fall over.
I was impressed.
Yeah,
that of your little fancy footwork, and then his you know tenacity to continue.
You thought he would just give up?
Yeah.
But my favorite moment of this week as a father, possibly my lifetime, happened where we were all going somewhere as a family. I don't know if it was lunch or a movie. Was it when we went to go see Captain America that this happened
Mother's
with the seatbelt? Was it with the, yeah, it was with the seatbelt.
Oh, seatbelt. Okay.
So Jacob has an issue in the back of the car where he won't buckle his seatbelt. And there has been one time, but you say two times. I only remember one time that I, as a horrible father, forgot to buckle Jack in to the seatbelt, and then somebody slammed on their brakes. it was more of a there was a
and hit the back of your seat. And then
no, he didn't cry.
He didn't cry
until I got back there.
Jacob fell one time. But Jack was like only two.
There were two times.
He was only two.
I know.
He wasn't even that experienced in
walking.
Oh,
we're so horrible at this.
And he fell a foot and a half off of it.
He didn't fall. He got launched.
That's just worse.
He was two steps below a trebuchet of being catapulted out of that fucking booster seat. But he, there are two moments in my wife's and my history where we have laughed at child pain. That being one of them. The other one was when Jacob, we were new to the parenting game.
We were so tired.
And so mean.
Yeah,
but it was
annoyed.
So funny.
It was mean, but it
he was
hilarious.
Such a sweet child. But Jacob was maybe 14 to 18 months, somewhere in that range.
Walk.
And he wasn't walking very well, or he new to walking. And he was jumping on the couch or something next to me. And I said, you got to be careful. Don't jump, you know, kind of thing. You could fall off. And then he kept jumping. And then he got his foot like stuck in between the two couch cushions and kind of twisted his knee a little bit. And he just kind of like that and started to cry. And I tried to hold him, but he wanted you. So I said, okay, fine. And I set him down on the carpet
to walk,
let him walk
to me.
He took
one step.
And then there's.
His foot hurt, so he fell. Horrible.
It's so funny because he could not support his weight on his knee. And also, we were so tired. Uh-huh. There were so little moments of reverse suffering, I guess.
Yeah.
It's so horrible to say out loud, but I feel like
there's other parents.
It has to be.
Yeah.
If not,
we're not
guess
by
what,
ourselves.
Guys? If you have never done this, then guess what?
You are parents.
You are
of
officially
the year.
No, not parents of the year, but there's at least one couple out there that is destroying people two at
a
time.
Well, they've probably already turned this podcast off.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't.
But
say
we laugh so hard. Yeah. Oh my God, it was a sad laugh.
Jacob even laughs about it now.
But there is something about a thud of a child that boom, it just hits you right
That's
in
not
your
on
funny
purpose.
Bone. Yes.
Yeah. It's out of injury though.
So
it's not out of learning to walk.
No.
It's out of injury.
Injury. Yeah. Yeah. Not just a failure.
No.
There has to be added maiming or suffering.
Yeah.
So Jacob is in the car, and Natalie's always rides him about buckling up. And I do the same thing. I'm just not as
like
adamant
about
it.
When you sit your ass in the seat, you buckle your seatbelt. It's easy. Like every time you do it every day.
So
three times a day.
So I said, here's the thing. I said, next time you see it when we're all in the car, I said, just give me a tap on the elbow and then I'll know. I'll get the car up to about 20-25 and as long as nobody's behind us, and I'll slam on the brake and I'll catapult his ass out of the car.
He's just catching wind of this in the back.
And so he was laughing about it. He goes, no. I said, yeah, maybe not. Whatever, you know. But he buckled up. And then after we left the movie, he also buckled up because he remembered, mm-hmm. right? Well, the next day, we go to the parts shop because I had to pick up an oven knob. And we're on our way there. And I wasn't even thinking of that. I just happened to look over my shoulder, but I saw he wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And I had to have done something so subtle with my face
with your
or
face.
My eyes. Because
yeah.
I didn't smile. It
he
wasn't,
gets it, man.
But he is so fucking aware.
Uh-huh.
And so what he did, I was like, okay. So I'm waiting. I'm kind of checking, like looking my surroundings to see how I could set this up. And I hear just like a subtle moving. and a, like it's a brushing of fabric.
Slowly.
And then I start to turn my head, and as I get about halfway to look back at him, I hear click, click.
Yeah.
And I look back at him, and he's just got this shit-eating grin on his face, and he's buckled in now.
He told me the other day, he goes, "Mama, I snuck it."
And I said to him, I go, "What you doing there, son?" Uh-huh. He goes, "I'm buckling in." And I started laughing. I go, "You're a smart kid."
Yeah.
"That's very funny." And he goes, "I was trying to do it without you hearing it so you would slam on the brakes, but I wouldn't fall out."
So he's trying to get you to
it. Was
do
so,
it.
And the, to make the story perfect, we go to the parts store. We they find out they got the wrong parts. Now we're driving back. Now I'm looking. And I do the same glance back, but he was looking out the window, not wearing a seatbelt.
Oh, no.
Got the car up to about 28, slammed on the brakes, and I look back to look at him, and his eyes got big.
Huge. He's like, "That's what they're talking about."
But he didn't fly out.
Yeah, no.
He didn't fly out, so I hope lesson learned. But that was our moment of the week, and that is our show. You can, again, send me an email, show@thedadpodcast.com. Let me know any feedback that you may or may not have. All of the social media handles for the show are in the description of this episode. Give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast if you are so inclined to be on the Facebook. But if you're on the Facebook and don't just care about my dumbass, but want to talk with other parents that are like-minded and share jokes and your own moments of the week, you could go to the Staying Frosty with the Dad podcast fan group, and it is a great little community that they are building. They're all fans of this show. Our very own Butcher Drew runs that fantastic joint, and I think if I'm not mistaken that Dr. J and Rachel Gibbs are there, so you can maybe even pick their brains about things if they happen to be perusing. We are so very fortunate to have those two fantastic experts be a part of this show. And I think that's it. Oh, don't forget to go to thedadpodcast.com, click the Amazon banner down at the bottom of the page, bookmark that shit, because every time you buy something from Amazon, henceforth, I will then get a little taste. And we have gotten some people who have emailed us from across the pond and are curious about Amazon UK. I think that there is a link for that because I've seen other people do that, but I don't know. But you could go ahead and do it and bookmark that link, or if it doesn't work for you, it's okay. Thank you very much for trying to help out with the show. And if I can't figure it out, that's not on you, and you are the very best. But if you'd like to contribute to the show, you can also click the PayPal button and just do $24 a year. And that would definitely help if you are somebody from across the pond. Although then that creates a denomination money. I don't care. Anyway, on behalf of my lovely bride, Natalie Worsham, this is Justin Worsham saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friends.